sample format. What? Test 1, 2. All right, it's recording. Here comes the AfterBuzz. Why? Just because. It's the AfterBuzz, the AfterBuzz. $20, little man.
Put shit in my hand.
If that money doesn't show, then you owe me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz podcast.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, that was timed perfectly, Buzz.
My name is Nico Adjimian, your host of the AfterBuzz. Of course, with me, the man of the hour, Buzz Adams.
Hello.
And, of course, a very special guest.
It's a very rare privilege.
Rare privilege. We are breathing the same rarefied air as our wonderful co-host, producer, just all-around superstar.
Oh, that's nice.
Joanna Barba.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for joining us today. We have a very interesting AfterBuzz. It is in honor of the late, great Jane Goodall.
All right.
Buzz, tell us a little bit about Jane Goodall.
Jane Goodall was the world's foremost primatologist. Even though she did not have formal education in primatology, she went to Africa and started studying chimpanzees and did it in such a revolutionary way that she kind of just changed the whole paradigm.
The game.
But primatologist, anthropologist, 91 years old, Jane Goodall.
What do you know specifically what, like, if there's a thing that she learned about chimpanzees that's interesting?
Well, that she was one of the first to observe that they use tools.
Hey,
up until that
right,
point,
there was
this saying that humans are the only animals, because we are animals, but the only animals that use tools. Well, they've found out since then a lot of animals actually use tools. But Jane Goodall was one of the first to observe, because she did field research.
She sat out there. She
which
slept.
Was not the norm for primatology back in the 50s.
I'm surprised she never got, like, attacked or hurt.
She saw chimpanzees using twigs to poke down into ant holes, and the ants would get on the twig. They'd pull that out and have a nice, tasty ant snack.
That's not like
ants on a log?
Ants on a log. It's a real thing.
Therefore, tools.
I love ants on a log.
Well, in honor of Dr. Goodall, I have an animal-centric, animal-themed list I want to go through of the male animals with the worst lives.
Oh, no.
Who's got it worse in the animal kingdom? If you're a dude.
I'm
going to say whatever male black widows are called.
Yep, that's on there.
It's right there in the name,
yep,
right?
It's on there. I think we. Oh, so what happens to black widow males then?
They mate, and then the female eats the male. And not in a good way.
So all of these animals have interesting stories like that for the males.
Okay, well, that's a well-known one.
All right, let's start off with number one. The ant, I don't know how to say this, but it's Antechinus or Antechinus.
What does it even look? I don't know if it's
look
a,
these up as you
is
sure.
it a
look
mammal, it a fish,
look
or
it up.
An insect?
It's a marsupial, actually. It looks like a rat, okay?
Spell it.
Antechinus. And it looks kind of like a rat, but a cuter.
Oh, how cute.
Like a cuter rat, right? Is that how you would say it, too? Like a cute rat?
A cute little
like
rat?
Like a little rodent is what it looks
like.
To me.
So it has one of the most intense mating rituals of all animal species.
Oh, my. This little fella?
I've ever heard of this. I thought I had heard of all the
animals. Oh, look. One of the top articles, the tiny marsupials, where males have sex until they die.
Yes. So let's go through it. They
What a way to go, huh?
They mate. Yeah, well, okay. They mate at the same exact time every year.
Okay.
For 2 weeks.
Mating season?
Yes.
But how long does that season last?
Look at that little cutie.
It lasts for 2 weeks.
You're telling me this is a marsupial, so probably closer related to a kangaroo than a rat.
Or a koala. Yes, but it looks like a rat, doesn't it?
It does. Looks just like a... Uh-oh, there they are. Uh-oh, we just got into some sexy time in this video I'm watching.
I should have looked away. So I felt uncomfortable.
They mate for only 2 weeks during the winter. So when the male becomes 11 months old...
I know a few guys who mate like that, too.
He gets super muscular. Okay, do you see the muscularity?
Yeah.
They get super muscular.
They get a little puffy, yeah.
Because of all the corticosteroids that they produce in their brain.
They produce steroids?
Well, we all do have some corticosteroids that we produce in our body. But the amount that they produce during mating season is so much steroids in them that it puts an entire stress on their heart and causes organ failure and hemorrhaging and immune system collapse.
So they turn into the Hulk, but then die.
It's like too much Viagra.
Yes, it's like ODing on Viagra.
Oh my God.
At the end of the breeding season.
That's an interesting adaptation, huh?
Every
because when you say, I'm thinking, well, this is adapted over millions of years.
Yes, for some reason.
Why was this a successful adaptation?
Maybe a competition, like only the ones with the most corticosteroids.
Get to pass their genes on.
We're able to, you know, take. I think you have to take them. At the end of the breeding season, every single male drops dead.
All of them?
Yep. They all drop dead until they give the females give birth more males that will then breed in the next 11 months.
That's your idea of a perfect world, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
You mean there's no late, like weird calls afterwards?
I'm not going to get a weird call 2 weeks later. What you doing?
What you doing? Hey, real late?
No, because he's dead.
I love this one. Next up, the anglerfish.
Anglerfish.
Yes. Now, what you're used to seeing...
Yeah, this is the ugly bastard. Look at that dude.
That's a female.
Oh, okay? Look at that bitch.
Look up the... look up male anglerfish.
Okay.
No, you'll have to type in male anglerfish, Buzz, because all you're going to get is the female.
Oh, look at this little buddy.
Buzz, you're not
going to... I thought one of the photos...
Just type in male. There you go. They're tiny. They're tiny.
They are little.
Okay, so instead of me explaining this, I think one of my favorite comedians should explain this. Pump me up.
Okay.
This is Kate McKinnon on Hot Ones.
Love her.
Knowledge to the test here.
Bring it, baby! All right.
I'm going to pull a critter up on the monitor over here, and it's up to you to identify it. All right, up first, you know what that is?
It's a Madagascar hissing cockroach.
And actually, it is a Madagascar hissing cockroach.
Gram Fedorina portentosa.
What?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it is a Madagascar hissing cockroach. What is this?
That's a newt or salamander, I can't tell.
Yeah, that is. That's a Japanese firebelly newt.
Okay.
Up next.
Deep sea anglerfish.
That
female.
Is a deep sea
That's
anglerfish.
Oh I'll tell you, you know about how they
Put me on game.
Okay. So they're the most extreme case of sexual dimorphism in the animal kingdom.
What? Very good.
Meaning that the females are yay big and the males are born this big. And they're born without a digestive tract. And so their sole purpose, the males, is to find a female, a giant female, and attach himself to her flank.
I know a few guys like that, too.
Whereupon he fuses with her vasculature and becomes, in essence, a parasitic dangling sack of gonads for her to use at her leisure. So this gal's swimming around down there with a couple of dead dudes dangling off her, just using their jizz when she wants.
She almost went into that character, the UFO abductee.
Yeah.
She's holding, here I am.
Like a cigarette.
She's with holding, my muffin and my stuffing.
She's holding a toothpick, and I'm not sure if it's because she's trying to get off of smoking cigarettes, but she's holding the toothpick like a cigarette, and she's almost into the character.
The character. Yeah.
Almost doing it.
Holy crap, that's hilarious. I love her.
Dudes. How is she so knowledgeable?
She loves
That's the flavor animals. Of autism animals. She's got.
So what the males do is they bite into the flank of a female, and then they fuse into their body. While the female continues to swim and hunt, the male loses independence, their bloodstreams eventually merging.
Good.
The male no longer needs his eyes, which drop off.
In the animal kingdom, the only species that has that kind of parasitic behavior is if a stripper's dating a drummer.
God, I wish that was on air.
That was very good. That was very quick of you. I saw the wheels turning, too. Yeah. I was looking at, like, where is that going? Sustained by her body, he exists solely to provide sperm. And she might have multiple males that will dangle off of her.
I think I love the anglerfish.
Hmm. Number three.
She's amazing.
What a mug, though, huh?
Yeah. I know.
That's why his eyes fall off.
That's one ugly bitch. The tent cobweb weaver. This tiny spider.
It checks out. It's a thing. Google filled it out for me. That's a spider.
It has a very difficult time reproducing. The males have...
See, right there, that seems like that would be an evolutionary dead end. If it's difficult for you to reproduce. I mean, think how easy it is for...
Something.
Comparatively, for humans to
there
reproduce.
There must be some reason why these developed... The males
don't get me started on rabbits.
The males have two giant sex organs. So their sex organs account for 20% of their whole
body
weight.
They got two of them?
Yes. So he like takes off one of his sex organs with a loop of silk and twists and a twist of the body and a sharp tug. The creature rips off its own gigantic gonad, basically.
Oh my God.
Because they hinder movement. So in a quest for a mate, it has to rip it off just to get in position.
It's like a ninth leg for them, and it's annoying.
So it's like, I can't
bone. Tell me about it.
I can't bone. I can't bone you right, so it's just too big. I'm going to have to rip it off.
And then does it use it as a marital aid?
I think it just uses the other one. It's like, oh. I still got one.
I think the interesting thing here is that this is instinctive behavior. I mean, think about something with the brain power of a spider, and it knows when it's time to rip its own dick off.
It has two.
When you say it like that, it's hilarious.
But
do they both? Could he? Is it dealer's choice? He could rip either one of them off, or is there,
I think it's about what's going to get into position the best. But
that is so weird that that would develop as part of evolution. You know, this thing that the animal then has to
rip off. Well, okay, you want?
I mean, I guess we do it with our hair in a way. So.
You want to know my speculation is that it has two because during birth or life, one of them might fall off, so it's giving them two just in case. But it prevents them from actually getting positioned, so they had to develop that adaptation.
I just wonder what's going on with the spider that tells it, hey, it's time to rip this thing off.
Well, it doesn't end there for this dude, because when he does make love, he dies during insertion and stays attached to the female for up to 4 hours.
It's one way to stay hard.
Next up, the praying mantis.
No praying mantises. Very well.
While not all species of mantis display sexual cannibalism, some do, specifically the European, the false garden, and the South African mantis. The female is larger with more armor, and after attacking her partner with her scent, she attacks, eating his head first, Joanna.
Yeah, I've heard.
Or, you know. Remarkably, while she dines on his head, the male is still able to get into position and latch onto her. He can continue to mate for several hours with his head off before dying.
She's like, you're not done until I say you are.
The female now has a good amount of protein to produce lots of eggs.
So you're saying they only need one head to have sex?
Yeah. How many puns are we going to get into this?
A lot.
I know.
Just a lot.
Number five.
And not good ones, I want to point out.
No puns aren't good ones, Buzz. The drone bee. Despite being slightly larger than worker bees, it's clear drone bees are on the bottom of the bee hierarchy. They live incredibly short lives with only one purpose. To bone that queen. If it's successful, they die. Because their reproductive organs tear away from them when they try and get out.
Oh my God.
Unsuccessful drones who do not successfully mate with the queen are shunned. And
get out of here, useless.
Useless bee dick. And pushed out of the hive at the end of summer to save food for the queen and workers. They're like, if you're not going to use that dong right, no food for you.
I just want to be a worker, though.
Wouldn't
nope.
it be great if we could do that to guys who were useless like that?
Useless, man. Get out.
Get out.
They die from starvation and hypothermia.
Just to be sure that I'm getting this isn't a separate species. This is just one of the roles in bees.
In bee hierarchies, it's a drone bee.
Got it.
Yeah. Which is sad.
They get nervous before, like, God, I hope this works because if not, I'm going to die.
I wonder.
I think it sounds like they're going to die either way.
If
right?
there's a line.
But they would rather die honorably.
Doing their meaning
doing
on
their
Earth.
Job, yeah.
Doing their duty.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, because isn't the queen their mom?
I don't know, man. It's so messy. It's like going to a family reunion in West Virginia. Who knows?
Number six, the black rhino.
Oh.
Rhinos fiercely compete over females and are thought to have the highest mortality rate.
Well, look at them. You get that makes sense.
The highly
they're like an armored tank.
Get this, and this is the specific saying. They have the highest rate of mortal combat among mammals.
What?
50% of males die from combat-related wounds. One out of every two dudes.
So not sex, but fighting other
over
males for sex, probably.
Yes. And it turns out those fights are actually posing a really big roadblock to rhino conservation.
I was going to say,
cock blocking rhino conservation.
If these guys killing, show up on an endangered species list, I'm going to say you kind of have yourself to blame.
You killed each other over that. So they're depleting already small populations. There's no time to rest once the female has accepted a mate, however.
Joanna.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby rhinoceros.
Oh my God, look how little it
is. Hey, why don't you look up fights, like a YouTube video of their fighting.
Rhino fighting.
Foreplay is intense with the females and can include wrestling, fighting, biting, and butting each other before actually boning.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Oh, man.
I don't know what butting means. Like headbutting or butting?
B-U-T-T-I-N-G?
Right,
probably
there.
Probably head. I mean, it's almost certainly going to be headbutting.
Eventually, the male is able to mount the female, but it's no easy feat.
Wait, they're fighting too?
That's their foreplay.
That's foreplay.
Okay, but you're saying the males fight each other.
To almost death. And then the female and the male foreplay by headbutting and wrestling.
That's how Buzz foreplays.
And then...
Do all of the rhinos have horns, or is that just a...
Black rhinos, I think, yes.
Okay. So they're all horns.
So are these two fighting each other for a female, or is this foreplay right here?
You know what? It could be either.
Imagine being in the middle of that. Just accidentally ending up in the middle of these two.
Those horns! That has to be like a triceratops, like a...
A dinosaur.
That's a dinosaur. That came from a dinosaur.
You ever
sure.
see Ace Ventura 2?
Absolutely not.
Where he comes out of the rhino.
I love... That's one of my favorite scenes. It's one of the funniest scenes ever. The only thing that matches it is when Danny DeVito has to come out of a couch because he's been sewn into a leather couch because he wants to spy on people. But it gets too hot, and so he cuts himself out of the leather couch.
I just want to go back and say, you don't want to give anybody the idea that triceratops...
This is the real point that Buzz wants to make.
Of course they're not.
Don't spread misinformation that
way. Those are dinosaurs. Mammals came from an entirely different genetic branch. Eventually.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So boning for them lasts 30 minutes to an hour.
Okay. Not bad. Not too shabby.
Yeah. All right, next up. Emperor penguins. This one's sad.
Emperor penguins?
Yes. While most of us enjoy a good meal, male emperor penguins endure one of nature's harshest trials. Okay, females lay... Buzz, how many eggs?
One.
One egg.
One egg.
One big-ass egg.
For the entire breeding season.
For the entire breeding season.
Like, one
then
egg?
Then, they put it down on the floor, and the males have to stand on it and incubate it.
Hell yeah, you take care of that
baby. Not just that, the males have to stay very still and balance the egg on their feet, on top of their feet.
Oh.
The females will leave to hunt. It's not the males that go hunting, it's the females.
Yeah, she's going to be bringing home the bacon. Get it, girl.
The males have to fast or go without food for up to 2 months.
Because they can't leave? Because
they can't leave that fucking egg. That one fucking egg.
They fast for 4 months, relying on stored body fat to survive while protecting the egg.
During this time, they can lose up to half of their body weight, all while balancing the fragile egg on their feet to ensure the chick's survival. Because the last thing you want is the egg rolling down like some icy hill, and you're like...
Males huddle together.
Look at Buzz. He's just reading. He's just interested now.
And energy, which is essential for surviving the long fast and cold winters.
I don't know about the mortality
rate. Prisons, more like cuck penguins, right?
All right, number 8. The redback spiders.
Back to spiders.
Yep.
See.
The redback spider can often get eaten by the female, but it's not always against his will. Sometimes he wants to do it.
Hmm.
Look at the redback spider. So.
Okay. That's a cool looking spider. That looks like the one that bit Peter Parker.
That one does. Many times the redback spider male will actually leap onto her fangs to sacrifice himself. It's a ritual called copulatory suicide.
More men should do that.
Great band name.
Copulatory suicide.
That is a good band
copulatory
name.
Suicide! The male inserts a little packet of sperm into the female.
Interesting.
I present to you my packet of sperm.
My package. I give you my package. And the longer the female spends eating the male, the more likely the sperm is going to get stored in her, increasing the chances of the genes being passed on.
Wow.
So he wants to be eaten as slowly as possible.
I know a few guys like that too.
as slowly as possible so that
it's called edging. Okay. Only the female of the species is considered dangerous to humans.
How the hell do I tell which one's the male?
All right, number 9. Octopus. The mating game for both male and female octopi is harsh. Most males don't survive the process. In many octopus species, males are much smaller. There's a lot of sexual dimorphism. They use a special tentacle or arm called a hectooctolus.
I knew a guy who called his dick that.
To transfer sperm packets to the female. It's risky because the females might think of the males as prey or competition. So the males have to dart in there and then stab them with their arm. In some species, especially under stress or hunger, females have been observed attacking and then just eating the male after mating.
She also dies. I'm reading here that both of the parents eventually die after mating.
For females, life isn't that much better. After focusing all of her energy on laying and guarding eggs, most females will die shortly after their eggs hatch.
Dang.
Number 10.
They both die.
Seahorses.
Oh.
Everybody loves seahorses, right?
Male seahorses face a rare evolutionary burden. They're the ones to get pregnant. After females...
What?
Have you ever seen when the seahorse man has babies? They're just like...
A lot of them come out?
Yeah. It's like he's crapping babies.
And it's the male.
But it's interesting because she's not depositing sperm in him. She's literally taking her eggs out.
And putting them inside him?
In a pouch. He has a...
Sounds like a bunch of woke DEI crap to me.
It's called a brood pouch. And so he like opens up his pouch and is like, put your eggs in me.
Great band name.
Brood pouch.
That's a good lineup right there.
Put your eggs in me. And she's like, yeah, I'll put them in you.
Open up your
and
pouch.
And so I guess he has his sperm somehow find their way to the eggs.
We've inside. Just added brood pouch and
copulatory suicide.
Copulatory suicide is two bands at the KLQ Rock Park.
You know what? I wouldn't have blinked an eye if you had said that too. So males fertilize and carry them during gestation. They provide oxygen, nutrients, and even control how salty the pouch is for the developing embryos.
Salty?
It's not good if it's too salty. I
agree. All right, that does it. That's all 10 of the weirdest male.
I learned so much today.
Worst lives ever. What have we learned today about male animals with the worst lives?
They all die in the search for sex.
A lot of them,
their life
reproduction
is reproduction.
Reproduction.
And then that's it. That's all they have to
do. Is the main goal for almost every animal species, it seems like.
It is.
No, but how many actually do suicide? I think maybe dolphins.
No, but the statement you made, if you really wanted to get close to what's the meaning of life?
Reproduction.
Reproduction. Is kind of the meaning of life. If you don't reproduce, you're not going to have much of a future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
want to get down to it and argue about what the meaning of life is, clearly it is to reproduce.
Why would humans develop the suicide adaptation then?
We don't. We have it.
Well, we do.
In what way?
That humans are one of the few animals that are like, yeah, screw reproducing. I just want to die or kill myself. Or even many humans don't want to have kids. So it's kind of like a weird... I would say that's an adaptation.
I'm not 100% clear on what you're saying. That humans commit suicide without doing it in the intercourse?
You're saying the main purpose of life is to reproduce.
Yeah.
I'm saying some humans disagree with that. That some humans can take the ability and go...
Oh, no. You may disagree with it, but it's still true.
Like, you could disagree. Right.
I'm not making a moral judgment on anything. I'm saying overall life, not just humans, life. This goes for plants as well.
No, but
to reproduce.
I think the discussion was essentially, all of this is just animal instinct. And I'm saying some of it's not animal instinct. Like, for example, there are cases of dogs and whales deliberately beaching themselves or refusing to breathe.
Did you say dogs and whales?
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
And whales. Refusing to breathe after some type of trauma. Now, whether they truly intend to murder themselves isn't proven, but it could show you that's not
there. There is a lot of evidence that says that there's something going on that triggers that response in some crustaceans, which would be your whales and your dolphins.
Really?
Crustaceans?
They're not crustaceans.
Crustaceans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some pets stop eating after their owner dies. This can lead to starvation.
Aww.
Aww, that's such a good puppy.
Elephants. Anecdotes exist of elephants walking away from the herd and dying after losing a calf or a mate.
Aww.
Some keepers have reported deliberate drowning or starvation in captivity. So I think it's interesting. I just think it's interesting.
Endlessly interesting.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. We do this every Tuesday and Thursdays. Thank you, Joanna.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Hope you had fun today. And don't forget to listen to the regular Buzz Adams Morning Show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on KLQ El Paso's Best Rock. And the Buzz On Demand, if you want a shorter digest version, you can get wherever you get your podcast. Talk to you all next time.